The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
It was fall in the year of 1918. The epidemic was taking over the United States, little by little. In New York City, it was noticed that states across the country, for the first time since the founding of the nation, churches were being closed, including Catholic churches. And so the editor of the Catholic newspaper in the Diocese of Brooklyn wrote a story about this. And in the story, he talked about an interview that he had made with a Catholic woman earlier that week. And he wrote this: "We asked a lady if she went to Mass last Sunday. She promptly answered in the affirmative, but we said, 'Weren't you afraid of getting influenza?' 'No,' she said, 'but if I stayed away from church, I would be afraid of getting it.'" This is good Catholic philosophy. A few months later, as the pandemic spread, it became clear that things were at crisis proportions now. And so an interview was done with the religious sisters, the Sisters of St. Joseph, who operate a hospital on Long Island, at St. John's Hospital. And in the interview, the sisters said this: "During this influenza epidemic, we have witnessed such scenes in our hospital as never before. The doctors warn us that we may have some new epidemic following the coming of many ships from war-torn Europe. We have to do all in our power to have our hospitals ready to receive them." This too was sound Catholic philosophy. Love of God and love of neighbor. We as Catholics are both Mary and Martha. Love of God and love of neighbor are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they are complementary. And so in the current pandemic, we wash our hands several times a day, mostly to protect ourselves from reaching and contaminating our own face. We also wear masks, mostly to prevent spreading germs to other people. But we always place ourselves in God's care, in God's hands, in God's will. It is God's will, whatever happens to us. This is good Catholic philosophy. The scriptures today speak of two different types of crises. They come in two forms, one in natural phenomena and the other in evil, forms of evil. And so the natural phenomena includes things like tornadoes, droughts and floods, disease and pandemics. Human evil, such as represented by the evil king and queen of Israel, who were in pursuit of Elijah as he was fleeing them. This is human evil caused by sin. It includes prejudice and racism, self-interest and selfishness, disrespect for human life and human dignity. God doesn't cause either of these types of crises. He doesn't send us these crises to test us. God creates a world that is free. It is free to act according to physical laws of nature, and it is free to act according to moral laws. We as human beings have to respond to crises. And it is through these crises that we come to encounter God. It's how he makes, and it is in these situations he makes himself known to us. And the person who reaches out to hold us and grab us and stable us during a crisis. Or in the silence of prayer, when we experience the stirrings of God deep in our hearts. It is here in these moments that we recall that God is, was, and always will be a mystery in the midst of crises. God is not a problem to be solved. Scientists solve problems. Problems are gaps in our knowledge that eventually we think we'll be able to solve. They are things that can answer the question of how. But we as people of faith ask different questions. We ask questions of why. Questions of why. So we may desire truth, beauty, and goodness. We ask why. Why is it that we desire things that are true, good, and beautiful? It is reasonable to assume that eventually big scientific problems like a unified field theory will pull all the different disciplines of science together. It is reasonable to assume that medical researchers eventually will know more about how the brain responds to different stimuli. And it is reasonable to assume that one day there will be a vaccine that will be used to help our body create antibodies and protect us from the coronavirus. These things are reasonable. They are problems to be solved. But the mystery of God only enlarges as we ask questions, further questions. Questions of why. Now we are tempted at first, of course, to look for miracles, as Elijah did, for big things, big, booming experiences of God's grace and mercy, looking for the sky for these things. But in fact, it is the small things that surround us that are the miracles of God. The pouring of water on a baby's head during baptism, the whispering of a penitent and a confessor in the sacrament of confession, as he or she is consoled by the words of Christ spoken by the priest. The breaking and blessing of the bread and the bread and wine at a daily Mass in the midst of a busy, busy world. Small things that speak to us of the presence of God as mystery in the midst of all around us. We really need only look at each other to see a miracle, a walking miracle, for that is what we are. Our heart is pumping about 100,000 times a day. Our body is producing millions of new red blood cells every day. The cells in our bodies are responding not to one kind of general supervisor of the body, you might say, but to different interactions with other parts of the cell, other components of the cell, constantly without our even knowing it. Why are we even here? Why are we even alive? We are walking miracles, to be sure. Well, yes, eventually we will solve problems that scientists seek to solve. But the mystery of God is beyond our problem-solving consciousness. The mystery of God is a limit to which we only come to by acceptance. We come to accept a God who, in his mystery, is loving and inviting. In the same way that Jesus invited and loved Peter out of the water and into the boat. The world is a loving place. God is a mystery that we will never fully understand, but we are invited to encounter that mystery. We do it through love of God and love of neighbor. In the psalm today, we sang, "Lord, let us see your kindness." That's all we can ask. Let us see and experience your kindness.